Romans chapter 1, verse 11. He says, I long to see you. I long to see you. In the other session, we saw how John said it again and again. I want to see you. He wrote them letters. He taught them and he said, I want to see you. He says, to impart to you some spiritual gift to the end that you are established. Why is that important? Now, let's get back to some things we've said. Are you making connections? Huh? Are we almost getting to our destination? Huh? I don't think you got me. Are we? Can you see why we started from Matthew 24? You don't know yet, right? Huh? Can you see it? Okay, let's try and see it again. Matthew 24, verse 3. The sign of your coming and the end of the world. So we said the word world, pay attention there. There are three words. Let's go again. Cosmos, onions, also ions. Then we have oikosom, whatever. So we have the three showing you one, the arrangement, the time, activities, and then the constituents, those who are part of it. Now, we also said, I didn't take much of that in the last session, there's of your coming. And we said the coming of the Lord is a special appearance. And the coming of the Lord is consistent with the Bible. He comes. He comes. The word parousia most of the time means parousia, a special appearance. P-A-R-O-U-S-I-A. A special appearance. Okay? Sometimes it's called His presence. Now, we said that that's not a return, like someone who had been absent. In Matthew 28 and 20, it says in 20 and 19, it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you. Then he dropped the signature word. Lo, I am with you. Now, listen to that very well. Lo, I am with you always, till the end of the age. Now, we said the word end, there's the word soteria, and we have the word aion. We saw that the other day, right? Good. Now, notice something. He says, I am with you always. That's what he said. In John 14 and verse 19 or 18. He says, I will not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. In John 14, 20, he says, I am, that day you know, I am in my Father, I am in you, and you are in me. So he gave us what you can call a promise, a commitment of an ever-abiding presence. So why then would the church still talk about the coming of the Lord? That's why we said the coming of the Lord is not an absence, then a return. It's a special appearance to fulfill a task. Is that clear? Now, let's see one of them. Now, look at this. A very typical one. When Jesus died and he was buried, then he rose from the dead. Now, in that instance, he came to them. Okay? So, he came to them. Let's stay close to your Bible because I want to show you something very quickly. He came to them. Now, by appearing to them, he's raised from the dead. And in Luke 24, he got into a conversation between a man called Cleopas and likely his wife. Then he began to ask them what things, and they began to say, don't you know Jesus of Nazareth? And they went on. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to suffer this and enter into his glory? Luke 24, 27, he says, the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, expounds to them all scripture and things concerning himself. So when he said that, and they went on, you know, tired, journeyed, they broke bread. And the Bible says in verse 31, that as he broke the bread, their eyes opened. And as their eyes opened, he vanished out of their sight. Then they said in 32, did our hearts not burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures. Now notice Luke is intelligently using open two times. There's the opening that they saw him as he is. There's the opening of the scriptures. Now Luke uses that phrase quite a more times. He used it in Acts 7:55. Heavens were open, and he says, Stephen saw the Son of God at the right hand of God. In Acts 17:3, how Paul opened and alleging that Jesus was Christ through the scriptures. So use the word open a couple of times. Now again, Luke 24 and verse 44. No, not 44. Then he appeared to Peter. Then as they were together, he appeared to them. That's Jesus. He appeared to them. He came to them. Then they were afraid. Then he said, don't be afraid. A spirit has no flesh and bone as you see me have. So he ate food with them. And then the Bible says they touched him, they felt him. Luke 24, verse 37 and all that. Then it says to them again in 44, these are the words which I speak unto you, I was at with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was in the law of Moses, Paul, and Samson, and immediately. Open ye their understanding. See? Because you didn't open again. Open ye their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So, look at this now. So he now began to teach them. Then in 46, he says, thus is written in the book of Christ to suffer and rise again from the third day, from the dead the third day. Look at 47. And repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. I want you to pay very good attention to this. Then he said to them, you are my witnesses. Or you are witnesses of these things. What he now said to them in verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But you tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He said, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells us that he taught them for 40 days. So if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke account, Mark says he told them, Mark 16:14, he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Then he now said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out demons. He shall take up serpents, they shall take up serpents, if big angels shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, verse 18, and the sick shall recover. Now look at 19. 19 says, and then the Lord went up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. After he had said those things to them, then they went forth in verse 20, everywhere, preaching the word, and the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Notice that. He says the Lord went to heaven, and says the Lord is walking with them. So pay attention to that. That's Mark's account. We've read Matthew's account. Lo, I am with you, right? Always till the end of the age. Luke's account is close. Luke says, he said to them, behold. Behold means look at it. Okay? Means to see. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But we're going to wait. Harry, verse 49, in the city of Jerusalem till you will deal with power from on high. John didn't give us all of that. Reason being that, John had used at least 3 chapters to talk about the Holy Spirit. John 14 from verse 1, John 15, John 16. He talked a lot about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So, he didn't give us too much, but maybe John 20, 22, where he says he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, are remitted unto them. Verse 23, whosoever sins you, you retain, are retained. And of course, that's all. John doesn't give us those details of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But look at the book of Acts. Luke tells us that he taught them for 40 days, persuading them concerning the things of the kingdom of God. He showed them after many infallible proofs, you know, about that he was alive. And then he now said to them, I said, wait for the promise of my Father,
verse 4, which you heard of me. That's what he said. He said, John verily baptized with water, but not many days hence, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Right? Now, they're talking about, now, what did Luke say he was teaching them? The kingdom, right? Pay attention here. The kingdom. So after he had said those things, the apostles now asked him in verse 6, would you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Then he answered them in 7, it's not for you. I think that's the answer, full stop. We know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power, verse 8, after which the Holy Ghost is come on you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now don't forget, we had already, we had asserted that Jesus said he will never leave them. Okay? So now, but there's something significant. Acts 9 and 10 says that a cloud came and took him out of their sight. Then an angel said, well, what manner are you looking at? The same Jesus whom you see go, same manner he's going to come back. So we say, well, that must be the rapture. Now, they are waiting. And every day they gathered, praying, okay? And they prayed. So on a particular day, Acts 2:1 says, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now the question I want to ask you is, when he vanished out of their sight, was he still with them? How about that? Was he still with them? Because the Lord, I'm with you always. Now, when he vanished out of their sight, was he living in them? Okay, let's try and see whether Jesus has integrity. Did he say he's going to abide in them? John 14:20, in that day. So was he abiding in them when he rose from the dead? Believe. So when he appeared to them physically, right, and he appeared physically to them, and he taught them for 40 days, was he living in them? You guys don't seem to believe that Jesus is God. Was he living in them? Okay, let me make it a bit easier for you. When John, in the book of Revelation, when he saw Jesus on the island of Patmos, was he living in him? Isn't that simple? Alright? When Jesus appeared to Paul in Acts 22 and says, don't be afraid, have many people in this city, was he living in Paul? Good. I know you're fixing something in your mind. So when he departed out of their sight, because appearing to them physically, was it a special appearance? Was it the coming of the Lord? Yeah. So when he left their sight, did he leave them? Alright, good. So, the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one place in one accord. There appeared a sound from heaven, verse 2, as a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were seated. And they appeared unto them, cleansed as the fire, and the sound of Jerusalem. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, Peter now begins to explain it. And guys were, you know, what's going on here, and everybody's contesting it. Peter's tying up with the 11. You know, and that's some order, right? It's not like everybody started talking together. I say, Peter, let me finish the story. You know, Peter started and ended the sermon. And then Peter began to say, this men are not drunk as you suppose. Acts 2. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now look at that now. In the last days, saith God, Acts 2:17, I will pour out of my spirit, first person pronoun, I, the Lord, will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Who poured the spirit? Huh? Father, Son, and Spirit. It's Father, Son, and Spirit. Don't get that wrong. Father, Son, and Spirit. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters, the prophet goes on. Then he explores the scriptures on that. Now look at verse 33 and 34. Let's read it together. 33 and 34. Let's go. So Jesus had left their sight. Right? But he is with them. Because Mark 16 says he was walking with them. Matthew 28, Lord, I'm with you always. So look at Acts 2:33. Let's read it together. Let's go. Okay, being by the right hand of God exalted. Now, who received the Holy Ghost? It can't be Jesus. For what? Having received that this man having received of the Father, the promise of he and what? Who? Jesus has shed forth the things which you now see and hear. So who poured out the Spirit? Jesus, right? Okay, how? I thought he had, did he come again? He came back again. He never left them. Right? So, from where did he, now was that outpouring a special appearance? Did he have to go to return? No. But can we call that the coming of the Lord? A special appearance where the Spirit is keeping. It's not a return. Because there is no time. I've told you, the earth is the Lord's. There is no time he took a vacation. He can be inactive based on judgment or unbelief, but he's right here. Hallelujah. So what we often see as the coming of the Lord is a unique, special appearance. Are you here? Come on. Are you following this at all? Are you following this? Very well. So now, go to Matthew 24. So the coming of the Lord is not a return. Right? You can call it a special manifestation, a unique appearance. So look at Matthew 24 again. Matthew 24, quick one. Matthew 24 and verse 3. The end of the world and the sign of your coming. Now let's again think like these guys. Let me just do something very quick. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. People normally mix it up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Are you in church? Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's come with it. This should be good. This is Paul. Yep. He said, verse 13. Now, Matthew 24, what was Jesus talking about? That's clear. The coming down of the temple and the building of another one, right? Which is where Jews and Gentiles fellowship together. We said that before, right? Now look at this 1 Thessalonians 4. So people normally make this sound like what Jesus was talking about. Look at verse 13. Let's go. Verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now pause. Was Jesus and Paul, were they talking about the same thing? We've seen it. Paul was talking about the believers who had died. That was not what Jesus was talking about. You get the context? Good. Now watch this one now. He says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Did Jesus discuss this one? No. Good. Now watch this. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, that looks like a former president, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. There's nothing here that says we are going to disappear. Nothing here says we are going to leave the earth. Nothing. It's just a conjecture. Now, people pull this together and they go to Matthew 24. They jump all the things Jesus said, they go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Really quickly. And say, verse 40. Then two shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. You must have watched many movies like that where two people are together, one just disappears in white. And they call the rapture. So they assume that the one taken away is the rapture. But unfortunately, the context of this is quite different. Jesus was talking about an invasion of Jerusalem by an hostile enemy army. Now, look at the illustration or the context he gives to it. He says, as the days of Noah, right? Come on. Shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days, verse 38, that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage. So be very watchful when you go for wedding ceremonies. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Can we take verse 39 together? And knew not until the flood came, let's go, and took them all away. So who is taken away? The one that is rescued or destroyed? Huh? Why do you think this is rapture? In Noah's flood, the ones who were taken away were they saved or destroyed? So, the next statement, two shall be in the field, one shall be taken. The one taken away, is he saved or destroyed? So if you follow rapture, you don't go be that. Is it not clear enough? I didn't write it. So, left behind. Who is left behind? The saved or the destroyed? Who is taken away? You still want to go? You see, Paul and Jesus were talking about two different things. But they both called it the coming of the Lord. And it's two different things. So the coming of the Lord is his unique appearance. His special appearance. The coming of the Lord is his unique appearance and special appearance. Let me show you another one. This is a little bit subtle. The Garden of Eden is God's house, right? It's the barnacle. And in Genesis 3, it appeared like God went on a holiday. Verse 1 and 3, the conversation between Satan, or let's say the serpent, Adam and Eve went on. So, in verse 8, or verse 7 to 8, says, verse 8 precisely, it says, and then the voice of the Lord God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It appeared like he was somewhere, then he came. But you and I know he was everywhere. Then why is it described like the voice of the Lord God walking as though he was away, then came back. It's a unique appearance. Are you here? And when he said, Adam, where are you? Is that a question or a rhetoric? Now what are you doing? What happened to you? So God's silence is not his absence. His inactivity is not his absence. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the coming of the Lord is not a return. Is this making sense? Now, let's ask it. The Lord come to Adam and Eve in the garden? Huh? He came to them walking. Was he returning from somewhere, a trip? No, he was right there. So the presence of the Lord, or the coming of the Lord, is a special appearance. Don't forget the illustration we gave about wedding. Or, like I said, when you call up a guest speaker, he's already there. So you don't want him to perform a function. So he gets up to speak. He has always been here. But he gets up to do something. So when God, as it were, does something, it's called his coming. It is not a return or a presence as the opposite of an absence. Is it, are you getting this at all? Now, so the coming of the Lord has different shades of meaning. Right? Good. So the coming of the Lord is summed up in one word. This is a bit complex, but you can put it somewhere. Somewhere you resolve it in your mind. The coming of the Lord in the earth has different shades of manifestation, but has just one purpose. To make the earth his home. That's it. And sometimes, you know, if you have done building before, you build intentionally, right? Or somebody just, you just build on me. How did this block get there? How did it doesn't happen like that? It's intentionally. And sometimes in building, do you bring down? Do you adjust? And that's what he does. So he has special prayer. Sometimes his coming involves judgment. Huh? Judgment. What about interventions? Redemption. He does that. What about let me put this one that you might have like. What about vengeance? Let me ask you a question. This is for all of us Christocentric people. How would it look like if our God cannot defend us? And so he says, well, you know, we just have to allow it to be like that. And then, you know, and then he cannot defend us. How does it sound? He can't defend. Or he doesn't judge things. He just says, you know, let it be. Let it be. You know, he says, well, you know, I love everybody, so let evil and good coexist. That can't be love. That's a dodo of a God. Hallelujah. You know, when he says, well, God cannot do something. Let's be very careful how we say it. You get it? God is God. Is that clear? So, he can come in judgment. He can come in justice. He can come. But all he does is for his glory. To build the house into his home. Is that very clear? And you be careful not to create God in your own image and likeness. You get it? I can't have a God who cannot. What does that mean? I cannot have a God who cannot. What's that? That's idol worship. You're not supposed to make God who he is. Do you understand? You're supposed to accept him the way he is. Is that clear? That's faith in God. So the coming of the Lord, now listen here. So when they said this coming of the Lord, Matthew 24, are we on the same page? Are we okay? Okay. So the coming of the Lord and the end of the world, Matthew 24, 3, is the end of the Old Testament, activities of the temple, the building of a new one. And this new one, does it have an address? Huh? No, it keeps expanding, right? Because all nations, he calls it to the uttermost parts of the earth. Come on. All nations, all families, Everyone is involved. Is it the same thing as replenish the earth? Huh? Come on. Is that the same thing? So look at 14. So before we get to 14, it says you hear wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. Now why did he mention that? Now because a lot of people pick this text, this is one of the problems with reading the Old Testament without the New Testament. Sorry, the New Testament without the Old Testament. I told you the very first day that the New Testament without the Old Testament is incoherent. Now, the assumption here is that when Jesus, and I don't know whether some of you, did you ever watch The Man Who Saw Tomorrow? You don't know that documentary, what do we call it, film? Nostradamus. Wow. You guys, you got born again from your mother's womb or something? You don't know it? Okay, let me ask. Do you know Mark of the Beast? Born in hell. Huh? Beast and Thunder. Beast and Thunder, you know Beast and Thunder? Oh my God. Those were the things that kept us holy. Beast and Thunder? Huh? Let me answer so recent. It's for millennials. Distant Thunder, you have a thief at night. You should know. He should know. Thief at night, Mark of the Beast, Burning Hell. You know, there's another one from Nigeria, Profitable Servant. We add to that stuff. You know, you have those movies, and they were all acted on illusions. So why were those movies gaining ground? Nostradamus was a guy who was meant to have predicted Hitler. And he got those things right. And people believe that, you know, he got, you know, some very funny stuff like that. But look at something here. When Jesus said in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, let me ask you, were there no wars before Matthew? Come on. Please help me know which one had not happened before Jesus came. Let's see. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but what? For nation rise against nation. Had this happened before Jesus came? Kingdom against kingdom? Oh, okay. Pestilences, famines, earthquakes, the beginning of sorrows. Look at 9. You will have to be afflicted, they shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Has this been happening before? Huh? Okay. Then the false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Has this happened before Jesus came? Iniquity shall abound. How about we saw it now? Genesis 6. That one was abounding. So my God, the love of many shall wax cold. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now look at verse 14. Let's take it together. And this gospel of the kingdom. Stop. 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 He says this gospel. The word gospel is not good news alone. It actually means a kingdom exploit. It's taken from kingdom. It's a kingdom activity. Alright? That's what gospel means. So this gospel, news, like a tautology, of the kingdom. Now why did he say kingdom? This gospel. Again, what was he talking about? What's this discussion again? Huh? The temple. The temple is God's tabernacle. Yep. House. Household. If the temple is full room. Huh? Kingdom? Good. So the gospel of these kingdom. Can we say new temple? Huh? New tabernacle? New household of God? Jews and Gentiles in one family? Will be preached in all the world. for a witness unto all nations. Let me see whether you are following. Then I shall come. Does it work? Come on. Then I come. I simply swapped end of the world with the coming of the Lord. That's what I did. Is it not the same thing? So the coming of the Lord at the end will be as what? He is now the king of all the nations. How is he going to be king of all the nations? We will preach the gospel in all the nations. Then he appears in all the nations as the king of kings and lord of lords. Bring him to pass Psalm 24. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And let the king of glory what? Come. Did he live there? No. It's a unique appearance. How will the king of glory come in? By preaching and teaching. So when they asked him, will you restore the kingdom? He said, you go and preach to the uttermost part of the earth, then the kingdom has come. The king has come. Is that clear? So the coming of the Lord is the activity of the church. You get it now? So Jesus said, when you hear wars or rumors of wars, don't let your heart be troubled. Keep preaching. Hallelujah. Earthquakes. What about COVID? If it comes again, keep preaching. Civil wars, keep preaching. Keep preaching. Why? Because he will build his house out of darkness. Keep preaching. Nothing should stop the preaching of the gospel. Because it's the preaching of the gospel that brings the closure to this age. The coming of the Lord. Now notice something there. Did you see something there again? Which is the fact that everything God says he will do, he works with who? Man. So the coming of the Lord, let me see whether you feel with this. The coming of the Lord, the appearance of the Lord, from his death, burial, and resurrection, is with people. He's with the church. Paul says he will appear with the church. He will appear in clouds. Clouds is for people, it's not for rain. Amen. Clouds talks about people, alright? So when Jesus was taken up in a cloud, that cloud is people. Amen. Hebrews 12 talks about the cloud of witnesses. Cloud is people. Cloud is people, okay? Matthew 27 tells us that when he rose from the dead, they saw saints rise in his resurrection. Matthew was the only one who captured that. So the coming of the Lord in the earth is with the saints. Revelation 1:6, Revelation 5:9-10 say we will be kings and priests and will rule and reign where? On earth. So the coming of the Lord, we are expecting Jesus. We are expecting Jesus. The way to expect Jesus is to preach Jesus. Hallelujah. So the coming of the Lord is the work of the church. Is that very clear? Come on, are you here? It's the work of the church. Remember in the first, oh, I said first service. I think I'll be late. In the earlier session, we said, what is God's method? Huh? Man. Man is God's method. So if God is going to come and reign in the earth, he will reign through who? Man. So while we're waiting on him, he's waiting on us. Man is God's method. So, how are we going to get to the end of the world? By preaching the gospel. Why? Because we are his image. Right? Who are we? Come on. Genesis 1:26. Who we are. 1:27. Whose we are. 1:28. Can you change that to preaching the gospel? The kingdom of God? When? What is the goal? To the end of the world. Is it connected? How are we going to do it? Genesis 2:15. We'll serve where? In the house of the Lord. Can we do it alone? No, because we are not good without the helper. Are you making the connection? So, is the gospel in all the nations the work of the Spirit? Yes. But the work of the Spirit through men. Now let's bring it home. Through men or through the church? Those who have the Spirit, who are they? So is it through men? I mean, through who? Through Bill Gates? Through the church. Right? So, what God is doing, how do you know what God is doing in the earth? You look at the church. And so you go tell those prophets that are always speaking during elections. What a shame. There's a prophet like that. Oh, call him whatever. Prophet. Every time he talks in Nigeria, in my country, it's always about elections and government. I've never heard the man talk about and the gospel and missionaries and what kind of ministry gift is this? This looks like a, don't let me say something I don't want to say. Come on! And there was a man like that who went to meet a president of one nation in West Africa and he said, sir, I just came to talk to you about the coming elections, how we, the prophets, can help you. The president said, Pastor, we know how we win election. You go and face your gospel. That was God talking. What a shame. We just did one in Nigeria, my country, and it was such a putrefying shame. Pastors were just, some pastors would say rubbish. And the funny thing is that sometimes they're not even shameless. They don't say the Lord. They don't say elections. Come on. I used to know a man. He used to predict football games and other things. The man's name is Professor Gabriel Okonjo. I knew him because my parents, when they were very confused, took us to his place. And the man has such powers. He had some flowers in his house that he called his contact with the metaphysical world. So I kind of felt he was joking. Curious as I was, I went to those flowers and touched them. I just touched them. And he called out from his room very fast and said, who touched my flower? It happened to me. Of course I ran. I still didn't admit it till today. So when I was in the secondary school, now, the man was, I mean, he had some time, some robbers came to his house and they shot at him. It was reported in the newspapers and all the bullets lined up on the wall. You didn't get him. He was that powerful. So, you know, I was in the boarding house, so I wanted to leave the boarding house. So myself and a colleague, we cooked up a story. He cooked up the story, so I served it. And he said, some kidnappers were, they wrote the school a letter that they wanted 24 boys. And so we dropped the letter to the principal's office and, you know, the school just tightened security. We thought they were going to close the boarding house down. They didn't. So I knew that's the guy's name. He said, Monica, let's make it 72. So we wrote another one called 72. He's the one who used to tell the story. Like he saw some guys in hooded black and they came to drop letters. I never let anybody know I was involved until a few years ago. My class was like, you were as hell. So I went home during the midterm break and told my parents that, you see, the kidnappers, who they want to kidnap. My dad said, okay, let's go and meet Professor Okonjo. I was scared. I felt him say, you liar boy. So when he got to the man did some whatever. Then he said, I see that they are coming after your school, but there's a mark on you. I feel idiot. I'm a kidnapper here. I was so upset that day. But the man, got, you know, in 1990, I think, 89, afterwards, Nigeria played Russia. We had 4-0. And he said on national television, there was going to be a draw, Nigeria was going to win. He said it publicly, and it happened. You can check it, it's on Google. He predicted it. So he has stuff like that. But he said, so, you know, you can't make pastors start sounding like that. Predicting football games. Election results. How would a pastor come up and say, for the next elections, the president is going to be, go and sit down! Stop that. Hallelujah. Follow what I'm saying? What I see. That's what one man came and said. He said, I see Hillary Clinton win. And then Eli lost, said, I didn't see how well. What a mess. Praise the Lord. So watch this now. What is the sign of the end of the world? Evil? Huh? Destruction? The gospel. What's the sign of the end of the world? All nations worshiping God. If the sign of the end of the world is not evil, that means this world is not going to be destroyed. What's the sign of the end of the world? The gospel preached in all the nations as a witness. The uttermost parts of the earth. Is it the gospel that will now destroy the world? Because what he told Noah, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest will cease, this earth will no longer be destroyed. Is that what he told Noah? That's what's going on. So, Genesis 1:26, who we are. 27, whose we are. 28, we'll just call it one name. The preaching of the gospel. Can we also say making disciples of every nation? Can we say planting churches? Come on. What about many Christian meetings, outreaches, evangelism, healing the sick, casting out demons, living right, good conduct, walking in love, praise God, we subdue the earth, take dominion, okay? How are we going to do it? We serve in His house by the help of His Is it connected? Is it connected? So which means, now stop a little bit. If you look around the world today, we said the world, the earth is His house, but the temple is His home. Right? Now this temple is, it ought to keep expanding, right? Is this temple a building or a people? Come on. What? A people. So, how do we know what God is doing? We look at His church. How do we get into what God is doing? We get into the church. Let's push forward what I'm saying here now. So the church is more than a gathering. It's how God works. Are you here? Are you following what I'm saying here? Is how God works. So when you are born again, you have to know that you are a part of a whole, just like Adam and Eve. You have your flesh and bone in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And they are the rib Right? Huh? You have your rib somewhere, right? A part of the house. So, we're not just members of Word of Life Church. We're partners in God's work in the earth. We are related because of a common task in the earth. We're not just members of Saints Community Church, whatever our local assembly. Remember we said in the morning that there is the temple and there are the synagogues. Remember the synagogues? Local expressions of the whole temple. So pay attention here now. Now let's get to the practical things. How does God carry out his activities in the earth? Through what? The body of Christ. Right? Come on. And the body of Christ functions in different locations through what? The local churches. Synagogue, right? Come on, is it making sense? Body of Christ functions through the local churches. The body of Christ is one, just like Jerusalem, but the synagogue is many. The body of Christ is a unifying factor, but we are in different locations. Carrying out the task of reading the word, teaching it, worshiping, having the Gentiles, the non-saved come to salvation, praising God, praying, resolving conflicts, exercising authority, the churches. Now look at something in Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, you learn something? In Matthew 18, verse 15. If a brother, what's the sequence? If a brother trespass against you, put it on your WhatsApp status. Call him out. Some Christians should never have their name in the book of life. Left to me. Because they behave like idiots. Total idiots. You are born again. Can you just act like it? Look at this. He says, go tell him. His fault between you and him alone. Alone! Alone! Not, Pastor Blaze, I'm still going to go and meet him, but, he said, alone! Are you there? Now he says, if he shall hear you, you've gained your brother. If he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more. Two more who? Colleagues at work? Two more of who? Church members. Let me for one Christian somewhere. I say, I think you are born again now. Let me go with you. I know you will agree with me to go and fight. If there are two or more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word may be established. Oh, now look at 17. If he shall neglect to hear them, this is where Jesus stops. Tell it to the assembly. If he neglects to hear the assembly, let him be unto you an evil man and a publican. For verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. Now, is this one person or the church? See what the authority is. The church. Now, let's be very specific. Is it the church or the church meeting? How do you tell it to the church? You come together. Because from verse 16, there is a coming together of two or three. Are you here? So, coming together, tell it to the assembly. Wherever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He said in Matthew 16, 18 and 19, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Is that the church? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Remember we said, the church is a union of heaven and earth, God and man and mankind. So watch this now. So he says, whatever you shall lose on earth is lost in heaven. Again I say unto you, let's take 19 together, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which in heaven. Let's take 20 together. For where? Stop. For where? Where is a location? For where? For where? Let's go. Two or three. Now two or three in scripture is not literal. It just means more than one person. Let's go. For where two or three are? Now mark it out. One, where? Now we're looking at the practicality of God's operations in the earth. The first thing we identify, who? Brethren. Huh? Who? Who is God working with? Brethren. Who are the brethren? They have the Holy Spirit. Okay, so who, brethren? Who, brethren? Who, born again men? So now, how does he work? He works by the Spirit. Where? Where? Where is our gathering? Where two or three are gathered together. Why does he have to use together? Together is a quality of it. We are in one accord. Together in my there I am. So watch this. How does he walk? He walks with us where we gather together. There I am in the midst. So notice, the authority graduates to the assembly, which means the church gathering is how God works in the earth. The gathering of God's people. God walks with the gatherings of God's people. Early in the morning, we said any time he wants to do anything in the earth, what does he do? He calls a man. But you notice something? Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. But he told Abraham, in your seed shall all the families. Seed there's Zera in Hebrew, Z-E-R-A. But it's a plural word. So Joseph goes to Egypt. And we see a practical demonstration of that. And then God calls an entire nation out. In Exodus 4 and 22. Israel is my son. Israel is my firstborn. My son, my firstborn. He calls Israel one single person. My son, my firstborn. And then he calls the whole nation of Israel, Exodus 19 verse 5 and 6. Remember, we said Israel is an SPV. He calls them a nation of kings and priests. Watch it. Which means, now look up, we all have the same calling. If you belong to this house, we all have the same calling. All of us. All of us here. Because he gave the man the singular mandate. Come on. We have the same calling. We have the same calling. I didn't say the same profession. That's obvious. But we have the same calling. We don't have the same skills, but we have the same calling. We don't have the same height. Amen. We have the same calling. We don't come from the same nation, but we have the same calling. We don't speak the same language in the flesh, amen, but we have the same calling. Single calling. So, where? In the physical assembly. So watch what I'm about to show you as a precursor to what happens today. God now calls Israel out. Then, what is now? He called them out of Egypt. Showing you the 3D of the church. Look at Leviticus 23. Quick one. I told you what Leviticus is about what? What is it? Worship, holiness, and service, right? Okay, good. Watch this now. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them concerning the feasts, which you shall proclaim to the holy convocations, gatherings. These are my feasts. Then he gives them different feasts. Verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocation. The first one, he says, is Passover. See the connection in the morning. He asks them to celebrate the Passover, the unleavened bread, the Sabbath, the first fruit, the feast of weeks, trumpets, and tabernacles. Seven, as it were. Six or really seven. Now, what's the relevance for us here? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul, writing to the church, write this down as it will go. All the feast he gave them, he said, it's an eternal ordinance. You must always have this. Always. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is talking about the gathering of believers. Now look at this again. Paul finds out that there is a guy in church who is sleeping with his father's wife. And the church is saying nothing about it. So Paul says in verse 1, it's required commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication that is not so much as named among the Gentiles. That one should have his father's wife. You are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that you that then this did not be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, are judged already as though I were present concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your glory is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the whole leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Is the Passover a feast? Is it a gathering? You don't take Passover, you know, people that try to get this communion today, I mean, they call it communion. Don't let me get on that, but, you know, they say, when you get to your room, take your cup. Passover is never done alone. It's done with family. Okay? So he says, Paul is saying here, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Let's take it together. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So, Paul is saying, those feasts are now church gatherings. What do they celebrate? The Passover. Forgiveness of sins. We celebrate it. when we come together, what do they celebrate? They celebrate the unleavened bread. We are a distinct nation from the world. We are without sin, without spot. What do they celebrate? The Sabbath. The Sabbath is God's completion of his work on earth, the mission statement of the church. What do they celebrate? They celebrate the Feast of Weeks, the completion of when the law was given. What do they celebrate? They celebrate the Pentecost. Pentecost. Pentecost means first fruits. Now we are getting increase. Now we are getting more. That's why on the day of Pentecost, there was first fruit. 3,000 men were saved. What do they celebrate? Tabernacles, gatherings, trumpets. So God gave them why you should come together. Why were they not using food? Well, again, it's an identification marker. It's only symbolic. What were they celebrating? God has rescued us from the world. We have a mission in this world. So, and how often did he tell them to celebrate the feast? Forever. So church meetings are forever. They are forever. So the house of God, the church of God, is the where he carries out his work on earth. It's the where. The where he carries out his work on earth. Matthew 18:20. Where two or three are gathered, there I am. Let me now show you something. When Jesus gave them the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, it goes without saying that it had to be accomplished by gathering. What did he say? Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Meet. Have meetings. Have gatherings. Have meetings. Which means if we are going to get into what God is doing in the earth, we must respect and honor gatherings. Are you here? The first use of temple in New Testament is 1 Corinthians 3:16 and was an individual. May you know that you are the temple of God. He's talking about the church. And that the Spirit of God is in you. So, we must respect and also honor the assembling of believers. It is the house of God. I know you are the temple of God. I know God lives in you. Glory to God. Yes. But listen, God lives in you because God lives amongst us. Watch what I'm about to show you in a moment. So, when we were created as individuals? No. We're a part of a whole. Where we were saved, are you saved as an individual? A part of a whole. Do you have the same calling? The same spirit? Come on now, the same vocation? We are the same. Are we flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone? We are. Are we the side of the same building? The rib of Adam. Are you watching what I'm saying here? So, having realized that, we form a house for God. So, our assembling as believers is not an option. Is not an alternative to other things. It's our vocation. It's our vocation. Now notice something. You know, we said, you can't fulfill God's plan but in the house of God. Look at all the letters in the New Testament. All the letters. From Romans, all the epistles. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. They are written to churches. Is that it? Come on. Now, 1st and 2nd Timothy were written to a pastor of the church concerning the church. Right? Titus. Same. Philemon is an elder in the church. It had to do with a member of the church. Okay? The book of Hebrews was written to the church. Why? Because it says, obey them that have the rule over you. That is not an article in the newspapers. 1 John was written to the church. It says, to the young men, to the fathers. That's an assembly. 2 John, the elect lady, and the church in her house. 3 John, Gaius, an elder. That's a pastor. Are you here? Jude, same. 1 and 2 Peter, to the churches in Asia. The book of Revelation is also to churches. James is to churches, the elders of the church. So to carry out the instructions in the epistles, you have to be a member of a church. Do you follow what I'm saying here? Let's drive on something else. Look at Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to make an assumption that we all have a degree of English language understanding, because I think you speak English here. We do in Nigeria. We try. We have our own kind of English. Very unique. If you call someone and he's going out, you say, I'm coming. That's very unique. He's leaving, but he's coming. That's a special appearance on itself. So I'm coming, you know. So we have that kind of English. But now look at something in Colossians 1. So if I'm talking to you, now if I'm talking right now, now pause before we get to Colossians 1:27. If I'm addressing everybody here, stop writing, just look at me. And I'm saying, and I say, I want you to pray tomorrow. I want you to pray tomorrow. So, I'm talking to everybody here, right? Now, assuming somebody now writes down what I said, and writes, I want you to pray. Just making sure he documents the minutes of the meeting. And I say, and says, Chevron America says, oh no, I, Chevron, I'm saying, I want you to pray tomorrow. So, we write the letter. Minutes of the meeting, then we spread it. Then someone now reads it, one of us, and takes that letter, then goes to the mountain to go and pray. Has he acted on what I said? But I thought I said you. The you cannot be individual because I was talking to everybody. Now, look at the use of you in the epistles. Is it you for individuals or everybody? Colossians 1:27. Let's start from 25. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which I have been hid from ages and from generations and now is made manifest to his saints. Let's go 27 together. To whom God, among you, which is Christ, is that individually in you or among you? Come on. Is it working out? Christ amongst you. Which is the hope of glory. If you realize the churches were the focus of the letters, then the use of the pronouns should have another meaning to you. God wants us to carry out His mandate as a people. You are a part of a whole. Everybody here, we have the same calling. We might not be in the same location. We might not be in the same synagogue. You know what I mean by synagogue, right? I'm sure you won't change the name of your church tomorrow to Word of Life Synagogue. You know? So, Word of Life Synagogue or something. That'd be an interesting name. WLS. It's about the people. That's why Paul was going to carry out an instruction. So when you come together, when you come together, what is in this assembly? The Father, the Son, the Spirit. Do we have the Spirit in us individually? Yes. For the gathering. The Spirit is not given to you for individual pursuits. It's for the assembly. Are you here? Because you were called to serve in the house. And He gave you His Spirit to serve in the house. You judge? So, rethink your use of you in the epistles and see it as first of all a collective word before it is an individual phrase. God's plans and purposes are worked out through His people. And the way He does it is in our feasts, our gatherings. It's not an option. It's not an alternative. No, it's not. Now let's look at it like this. So every time Paul says, pray without ceasing, is it first of all individual or the collective? He's talking to everybody. I can personalize it, but it's first of all about the prayer meetings. All instructions are tied up primarily in the meetings, the gatherings of the saints. So if you don't know how to relate with fellow believers, you are getting yourself out of the will of God. Listen. Your highest potential as a human being is in the house of God. If you do not know how to receive, treat, honor the assembly of the saints. You know, a guy in Acts 5 called Ananias, his wife is Sapphira. I believe that's a very, very, very sound marriage. At least they were both the same kind of person. And that's a marriage that two or three can walk together there. I mean, they knew how to lie to the pastor. So they had asked me, well, sir, is it God who killed Ananias and Sapphira? You just don't lie. Right? Are you asking for the consequences so you know whether you should lie? Just don't lie. Whoever killed them wasn't important. What's important is don't lie to your pastor. That's fair enough, right? And you have enough in scripture to know you shouldn't do it. Two guys lied to their pastor, Gehazi. Gehazi was an assistant pastor. He became the missionary to the lepers. Then you had Judas too, who lied. Do you need any other evidence? You're asking who did what? You don't do it. And this guy went, Ananias was very well to test if there is the Spirit of God in the assembly. That test didn't go well. That's what he went to test. Whether they had the Spirit in the assembly. He found out there was a Spirit in the assembly. Are you with me? So the church, the gathering of the church, is how God works. When he gave them the Great Commission, Acts 1:15, 16, they came together. Imagine the day of Pentecost. You say, well, I have a wedding. I have to attend the wedding. The guy is my close cousin. Pastor Peter, I'm sorry. I won't be available on the day of Pentecost. But don't worry, I'll get the CDs. I'll watch it online. And then you went for a wedding. Or you had to go attend to some. But they were all in one place in one accord. And the Holy Ghost came. It was very likely that if you didn't attend the service that day, you'd have been one of the guys who were saying, what's wrong with these guys? What's happened? Because you weren't in church at the right time. The Holy Ghost was given in an assembly. The second time we're going to see the Holy Ghost given is Acts 8. Peter and John came down, and how did Simon the sorcerer see people receive the Holy Ghost? Was he going from house to house? He was in church. How were people, did they receive the Holy Ghost in the house of Cornelius? As he got in Acts 19, how they received the Holy Ghost again? The 12 were together. If you are not seeing this, then you are not seeing. God works with the gatherings. Here this afternoon is the seat of God's operations in the world. If you want to know what God is doing, don't watch CNN. Okay? Look at the church. Look at the church. And there's some guys, oh, they tell us, you know, what's happening now, huh? And is now, I love Israel. Just like I love Saudi Arabia. And I've said this before, that the nation of Israel, that one in Gaza, is not the Bible Israel. The Bible Israel had 12 tribes. This one, they don't have any tribe. Because all the records of the tribes have been lost about 2,000 years ago. This one is a political Israel. That's fine. I love them either way. Because they have some roots to Jesus. That's sentiment. But you see, Christians say, brethren, now I'm talking about Nigerian, I'm a Nigerian. And they say, brethren, what have you been about Israel? I didn't get it. Have you been there before? No. Now, in the same nation, we have Boko Haram, bandits, invade Christians and kill them. We're not praying about this, we're going to Israel. People who gossip should have a distance. They're not praying for the ones in your nation. They're going all the way to Israel. Oh, come on. That's notice me now. Pray. Fine. If you want to know what God is, you do say, Iran and, Ukraine and, when is Ukraine and Putin? Is Putin the Antichrist? What's happening in Ukraine? And this Ukraine and Russian war? And all that. And you are failing to see what God is doing. He said, when you see those signs, that's not the witness. There is no sign some pastors are preaching. Brethren! An earthquake happened yesterday in California. The Lord is at hand. Brethren, can you see what is happening? Today, the Lord is at hand. No, sir. The witness is the preaching of the gospel. When you see all the Van Hebonke crusades and all those crusades by Bishop Dad Harold Mills, and people are coming in their thousands, say the end is coming. Hallelujah. The end is coming. Not CNN. Not Sky News. And when you see Holy Ghost meetings springing up everywhere, Grace and Truth Camp meetings, all over the nation, the end is coming. Because God is raising men. Winning men. Come on. Birthing sons. That is the sign of the end of the world. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling together of one another as the manner of sons, so much as you see the day approaching. As we get towards the end of all things, our meetings must increase. Because that's how God is working in the earth. As we will approach it shortly, we need more impartations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. More impartations of the Spirit. The first impartation I must know how to receive is from the assembly of the saints. Where two or three are gathered, I am. He's not here to entertain. He's here to fill our hearts. You mustn't have a church service without an invitation. I say to people this. I've said this definition years ago in the 90s. Maybe I'll change it now. I said, revelation is not information. Revelation is how you receive the word of God. So I'll say impartation is not just the presence of the Spirit. The Spirit is always with us. Impartation is how you receive from the Spirit. Excuse me. And you must know, excuse me, how you receive. You know, Jacob said, God was here. And I did not know. I did not know. There are brethren that could be like that. Do you know on the day of Pentecost? They were without presence of the Spirit, but some were laughing. Come on. They said, what is going on there? You can be totally oblivious of what God is doing. It's all in your attitude. We can have a Holy Ghost heavy service here depending on our attitude. Zambia, Zimbabwe, South Africa, hear me. If you are going to see God move in your nation, you must treat the assemblies right. You have to. That is how He works. Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin, he said, what is God doing in these last days? He's building strong local churches who are full of the Holy Ghost. There was nothing he said there that was strange. That is in the scriptures. Strong assemblies. Isaiah and Jeremiah call it a remnant, a called out people. What are they called out for? So that through them, other nations will be blessed. I'll get to this tomorrow. We must therefore avoid churches that act like cults, where we retain our numbers. No, we have to increase our numbers. If we are not increasing, we are not fulfilling the mandate. If you hold a Sunday service, and there is no first timer, something is wrong. In the church. No visitor. And sometimes, some churches are just used to, they just like themselves. We are a family, so we treat one another as family, but we're a family that must keep increasing. So they think, well, some say, is it all about evangelism? Is it all about evangelism and reaching the lost? But we're not caring for the brethren. Some brethren don't even have jobs. Some don't even have money. Some have, you know, and we're not taking care of them. Say, look, I don't want a church that's all about jobs and ministry. I want a church that will attend my naming ceremony, will attend my wedding, funeral. We will treat one another as family. Right? And we will also ensure that as family, we face family business. You know, there are some members that are like that. This is not my subject today, but I must talk about it. You know, you've been in the church for 3-4 years, and you're the one we have always been counseling. Brother, now, I called someone in church one day. I said, you know, you are always telling me I should come and talk to you. Something is wrong. I said, you know, I'll say two stories. I called one. I said, open your Bible. Said, yeah. See Mark 16:15? Yeah. Go into all the world. Is that your name? Are you every creature? You want me to be focused on you alone? I told one, I said, you alone are giving me 1 million problems. I'd rather have 1 million members with 1 million problems than one single member with 1 million problems. So can I see you after I said, no. Let somebody see me. I saw you last week, I saw you on Wednesday. Are you Shama? Let me see the new convert. Let me talk to the guy that I've not seen in the last 2 years. We have to expand. You didn't even see me last week. You came. Nobody checked on me. You are 4 years in the church. Why should you be checking on you? If you don't want to come, don't come. 4 years. You didn't even check on me. You didn't check. Or are you the darkness we are subduing? 4 years! I lost my job. Pastor did not even call me. Call him and tell him. There are other people that he has to call. Either me, Kenyon said, some are overgrown babies. They have not left the feeding bottles for the new converts. They stick in the bottom. Come and give me. Pastor, I'm having suicidal thoughts. Why not put the action? I'm talking what you are thinking now. So wasting my time. Rubbish. So you now go to her. Take it easy. After how many grace and truth camp meetings? After, I know you do a lot of seminars, church services, after you are still having to say that thought. So what am I going to tell you that I've not told you on the pulpit? Oh boy, suicide it. 1 30-minute suicide thought. 1 30-minute at all. If I hear a non-Christian wants to commit suicide, I'd rather run to him. But a Christian, too bad. You have eternal life. We'll see again. But the one that is not born again, I run to his house. No, you need Jesus Christ in your heart. I'm supposed to go into all the world. That was not my sermon. Just flew out. Are you okay with it?
Yes,
hallelujah. Yes, we have to take the assembly seriously. There's so much in this assembly. Only if you can see it. What kind of attitude do you have? This is the house of God. You know what Paul calls it? He said, you know how you ought to behave. Some of you will get up 4 times on the service, going to the restroom. It's not that they want to go and leave you. They go and force me out. You just can't sit in one spot. Go by one and when is he talking? He's talking too much. He has quoted the same scripture over and over again. That how, let us know how you ought to be in the house of God. What's the house of God? His secret place. Is that it? Bethel. The house of the Spirit. The tabernacle of God. Which is a pillar and ground. Hallelujah. Paul told them in 1 Corinthians 11. He said, when you come together, verse 17, you don't come for the better, but for the worse. He said, because when you come, there's a lot of divisions among you. And some of us don't know that division is powerful. Division is powerful. I've dealt with that later on. Division is so powerful. I've seen the devil wreck the move of God through believers. We can stop the move of God in our nation. And even for some of you, stop being petty. There's some things you can just overlook. Pastor, I want to see you, sir. No. It's not that I'm complaining, no. But Sister Julia, there was a way she looked at me. Sir. Some people are extremely petty. I guess that's a word of knowledge for you. Extremely petty. But see, there are divisions among you. But what did Paul see? He said, when you come together to eat, because the Jews have a culture of, you know, they eat together. We can't afford that today. New house to house. And he said, so that you know, he was not talking about communion. Uh-huh. He said, some will go home hungry. Some will come with their own meals. And those who came with their meals, they had where they will sit. They say, oh, look up. That's a, maybe walk that side. They bring their, wonderful, buffet. They're eating. There's some brethren will just hang around speaking in tongues. At least they edify themselves. They're food. Paul says it's so obvious. Those who have, shame those who don't have. You can't say those who have the unleavened bread. Shame those who, come on, that's not how to read it. They shame those who don't have. And we have that sometimes in church. Some guys will look at those who own the cars outside. They'll be watching who enters that car. I'll greet him the next time. You say you should greet people. So if you greet five you must say, you move from here to the back. How are you today? You're looking really good. And then you have those who say, because we come from the rich part of the church. They say, how are you? Just get to know you. You're a member of this church. Wow. I was looking out for someone like you. Thank God. I had to know you afterwards. Paul says it's the division. And he says, when you do that, you eat damnation to yourself. Because you are a part of a whole. If you now treat a part of yourself as poor, you judge yourself. Because we are a part of a whole. You now say, remember the Lord Jesus, the night he was taken. You know, people have crafted that to mean that Paul is teaching us that we should be eating Passover. Come on, Pete. That's a Jewish feast. Remember I told you the feast of the Passover is a church service today. It says the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. This is my body broken for you. He took the wine. This is my blood shed for the remission of sins of many. You, as often as you do this, do what? As often as you come together like this, you show the Lord's death till he comes. What is the Lord's death? Sacrifice, service. So when we come together, and we call it church service, we must be available for one another. That's what Paul is saying. So when that doesn't happen, some are sick, some are weak, and some die. It's not that they die because they ate the Passover. Stop it. That's not why they died. They died because they were not being cared for. Are you here? Those who were sick, who died, are not the wealthy ones, they were the poor ones, who were not cared for. So this assembly is God's house. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It's God's house. It's the house of His glory. This is where He works. This is where He works. So we are family, and we treat one another as family because of our calling. We have a calling. And God's Spirit is here. Like the songwriter says, every time that we are together in His name, hallelujah, He says He fills our hearts with His passion and His dreams. Hallelujah. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. We have a hunger in our heart for His glory to be. Praise God. Praise God. How do I function in the earth? Through the local church. Through the assembly of believers. You don't honor God more than the way you honor His house, His church, His people, and the gathering of believers. So we're going to approach it tonight. I must learn how to receive, because every time I come into the church, there's something for me there. There's a missing part of me in every service. If I cut myself off the service, I cut myself off the real me. I must know. Just like Paul said, I long to see you. I must long to be in church. I must long to be in church. To receive and to impart. Are you here? Psalm 122 verse 1. David said, when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord, I was glad. Hallelujah. I was glad. The word that He said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. He never built the temple. But He was talking about the people of God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when I come in the house of God, I come to be complete. I come to be perfected. There are missing parts of me in this service. I must know how to receive the things God wants to tell me. He will tell someone else to tell me. The things God wants to give me, He put it in someone to share with me. That must be how I will think about the church. This is His house. Hallelujah. So from tonight, I'll share how to receive invitation. How do you receive invitation? But before we get in there, the first thing is this. You must know what we're doing here. This is not a club meeting. It's not an association meeting. This is a house of God. Heaven is here. This is heaven on earth. You know, we don't just want to scare our neighbors. So where are you going to? I'm going to heaven. You say, don't leave me also, don't leave me. This is heaven. This is heaven. This meeting is heavenly. If you open your eyes, this meeting is heavenly. This is the house of God. There are demonstrations of His Spirit. His glory is here. His power is here. His healing is here. His salvation is here. His refreshing is here. Oh, come on. He is here. So I treat this assembly with honor. I come on time. That's why I said the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one place in one accord. It means they all got to church early. Can I have an amen? One accord. One accord means when they were sitting, everybody was seated. Not that yes, everybody just turned, just gets up, say, what's up? When are we finishing this service? No. One accord. If our attitude is right, the atmosphere will be right. And we will not miss anything. You know, there are people that can come to church. No. I had this service in 1995, I think, or four. And this fellow, who had such a glorious Holy Ghost meeting. Remember that day? A guy by the name of Kendi was the name. He got so imparted by God's Spirit that he raised the dead afterwards. Things came the idea. That's it. He raised the dead afterwards. What a great meeting we had. There was another guy in the meeting. He came out and told me that I want to see you. I said, what's the problem? He said, the last time around, he said something that offended me. Oh, I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, but I want to ask a question. I hope you got blessed in the meeting. He said, well, I didn't get blessed because of the thing on my heart. I wanted to sort it out with you first. I said, you're very foolish. You're foolish. And God is so humorous. He will put what you need in the life of somebody you're offended at. And you fast all you fast. Get on Living Word Media night and you will not get it till you fix that relationship. Study, pray, do all the videos, go for World Changers Conference 10 times a week. It won't change anything. Fix your attitude. God will not change who He wants to use because you don't like them. He doesn't consult you before He picks the people He uses. One sister like that, she came to, I used to have an office, for a church I pastored for in 1998. So she came and she's crying. Why are you crying? She said, my father got born again. Ah. Oh, Lord. I thought it was tears of joy. Nope. He said, after all he did, Pastor, you tell us that he saved forever? I said, yes. He's the righteousness of God? I said, yes. You know the way he is now, God's going to use him? Yes. I said, this is what he did to me when I was a child. Oh! I said, young lady, sorry for your loss. But I'm happy for his soul. And God's going to use him and use him well. Get used to God using him. Hallelujah. How about Peter? Peter just said, I didn't know Jesus. Oh, no, I didn't know Jesus. A girl came and said, I saw you at the camp meeting. You're the one that prophesied to me. What's camp meeting? I don't know what camp meeting is. Don't you know Jesus? Jesus. You mean Joshua that was Moses' assistant? Stop it. You know Nazareth. No. I don't travel like that. I don't know Nazareth. He was swearing, saying, in the name of my father's father, I will never, I don't know Jesus. I don't know. Even the court said, ah, cuckoo. Jesus said, go and tell my brethren I've risen, especially Peter. He showed up to Peter. He told Peter things we still don't know. And on the day of Pentecost, who stood up to preach? The same Peter. So if you are still saying, exegesis of the denial of Peter. The word denial is the word God is using him. And Peter didn't get on the stage and say, praise the Lord, brethren, you know me? You know my story. You know my story, but thank God, boys, you keep quiet and preach, come on. We all have stories. But there's a story bigger than that story. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, get up and preach. One sister told me they invited her for one campus meeting one time to come and tell her story of what she used to do on campus before she got saved. I said, let me give you one small advice. You see that scripture that says, your sins and iniquity I'll remember no more. Pay attention to the pronoun. The I is one person. The brethren will remember, including me. one of the brethren that we remember. So, no one said, I will remember no more. See, today we see a woman with the issue of blood. Somebody has been healed. Corinthians fornicator till now. Let me say, woman at the well. Is she still at the well? Hallelujah. God will use everybody in this house. What is the qualification to be used? Just be a human being. With the normal frailties and weaknesses, incapabilities, God will use you. This evening, God's going to use you to bless someone here. Tomorrow, God's going to use you. Every thought of inadequacy gets out of your mind now. He is your sufficiency. He is your helpmeet. Hallelujah. Not just in this meeting. He's using you for years and years and years and years and years. And the church will prosper because of you. Because the Holy Ghost is working in your life. And from tonight, we will start getting. You ready to get?
Yes, sir.
You ready to take?
Yes, sir.
And give?
Yes, sir.
To take and give. Because there's a lot in this assembly. This is the house of God. This is the house of God. This is the house of God. We respect this house. We look forward to the moving of the Spirit. What God is doing in the earth today. What God is doing in the earth today. He's doing it in our midst today. Glory to God. Imagine if you came into this house without thinking about Israel and Palestine. Or Ukraine and Russia. And you're thinking about the glory of God. And that's what's on your mind. And you're saying God's Spirit is working and working. You're going to take something. And you're going to give something. So tonight, fill your mind with God's Word. Fill your mind with expectations. Because tonight, the sick will be healed. Tonight, we fill our mind with the Word of God. This is the house of God. God's Spirit is moving in this place. We are the image of God. We walk in His calling. We walk in His glory.